Good morning. Thank you for joining us here at Enfield Town Community Church. My name's Nathan.
And I'm Tim.
And we're some of the pastors here at the church. As you can see, this morning's a bit different. We're not standing in our normal place, but that's because this morning is a pre-recorded service giving special attention and focus to thinking about world mission. We're really delighted that a little bit later, Chris Howes, one of our mission partners, will be preaching for us. And we'll be getting a little bit of an update from the kids as well about life there in Uganda. But we want to focus our attention on this morning that God is a God for all nations. Jesus is a saviour for all nations. I read this in the Psalms this week. It says, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. God is a God for all peoples, from east to west. And that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. We're going to start our time by singing a song together. We have heard a joyful sound. Let's pray together, shall we? Our God and Father in heaven, we want to acknowledge with the psalmist that from the rising of the sun to where it sets, your name is to be praised. We thank you that that is true. We thank you that there are people all over this world who on this day will be waking up to bring praise to your name because of your salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that as a church family today, we get to take some time to remember that you are a God for all people, Father, there is work to be done in every nation, that the Lord Jesus may be proclaimed and people may find salvation in his name. Father, we thank you that there is work that you've set us to do here in Enfield. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to help us to be a church that makes Jesus known. Father, we praise you today for you are good. We praise you today for your love and your mercy and your compassion. We praise you today for the gospel, this joyful sound that has reached our ears here in Enfield. And Father, please today, would you help us as we listen to your word, as we pray together, as we sing together. Please encourage us in our faith. Please would you spur us on to be people of mission and people who pray for mission around the world. Father, forgive our sins and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, boys and girls, I wonder if you've ever thought what it would be like to live in a different country. Well, last week we caught up with Dan, Josh and Chloe Howes, who live in Uganda, to ask them about life there. So here's a video for you. Enjoy.
Well, hello, children and everyone. Enfield Town Community Church. This is Chris Howes here. We're in Uganda. It's quite a sunny day, blue skies. And we thought you'd like to say hello or hear from the kids. So we've got Josh, Dan and Chloe. This is where they seem to spend a lot of their time. Guys, can I gather you together from your playing? Why don't you clamber up on here? This is good fun, isn't it? Our climbing frame. So, who are you? Who are you?
Dan.
Danny, who are you?
And Josh.
And who are you?
Chloe.
And how old are you, Chloe? You don't know. And
I'm 10.
And
I'm 8.
Great. So Josh, Danny, Chloe, tell us, we live in Uganda, not in UK, not in England, not in Enfield. What do you guys like about living in Uganda? Anything in particular, Danny? Is there anything in particular you like?
Well, it's sunny.
It's sunny. It is sunny, isn't it?
I like being long.
Shorts and t-shirts every day of the year. Joshy, what about you?
I like that we get to see our friends.
Yes, yes, you have quite a few friends that you love playing with, don't you?
I like that we have lots of animals. We have a guinea pig.
We do have a guinea pig. We won't go all the way and see her, but she's in that cage there. A guinea pig, yeah?
Yes.
What else do
and
we have?
Some chickens.
Where's the chickens? Are they around?
Oh, no.
Oh, there's one here. Here we go. This is Tomato. Yeah, we have chickens, don't we? What else do we have around the place?
Have a dog called Poppy.
Yes. And what other animals do we have in the garden, guys, whether we want them or not?
Rats.
Snakes, rats,
snails.
African giant land snails. They are huge.
Yeah.
Slugs. What else do we have? Oh, there's pigs, goats, centipedes. Anyway, there you go. Guys, tell us about church. Joshy, can you tell us what is church normally like for you?
Go to Sunday school.
Yeah.
And it's normally about 400 children.
Okay, pretty big.
With coronavirus, we have to do Zoom with the church in England.
Okay, so yeah, our church has been closed for seven or 8 months, hasn't it, our Sunday school? But maybe coming back in the new year, let's see. What about school, Danny and Chloe? Has your school been closed because of coronavirus as well?
No.
No, why not?
Homeschool?
We do homeschool, don't we? Do you like homeschool, Chloe?
Yeah.
Who's your teacher?
Our mum.
Our mum.
Yeah.
Favourite subject?
History.
Favourite subject?
Maths.
Favourite subject?
History.
Wow, there we go. Two historians and a mathematician. Guys, what can we pray or what can we ask our friends at Enfield to be praying for us, for Uganda, for life here? Joshy, is there anything you'd want them to pray about?
That coronavirus lockdown closes down.
Yeah,
that
ends.
Lockdown
yeah.
ends.
Yeah. So that what churches can meet
so that
together again.
Can open.
Yeah.
People can get jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. People are really struggling without jobs and money and food, aren't they? Chloe, anything you'd like to pray? Ask them to pray for.
To be able to meet our friends.
Yeah, we're missing them, aren't we? Danny, anything for you?
To see
our family in England.
Yeah, we haven't been back for a few years. We were going to go back earlier, but obviously coronavirus, etc. So, yeah, it's been a few years since we saw grandparents and we're missing them. We'd like to see them next year and see you guys in Enfield. So please pray that we would love Jesus, honour Jesus and serve Jesus in everything we do here, that we'd learn about him and mature in him, and we'll be praying the same for you. God bless you guys. Guys, do you want to say bye to your friends in Enfield?
Well, boys and girls, wasn't that just a fantastic video? I mean, they certainly have better weather than we do over here, don't they?
Absolutely. And do you have that many animals in your garden?
I hope not. I definitely wouldn't want snakes and rats in my garden, that's certainly for sure. Like, you can keep those. But they've asked us to pray for them, so it'd be great to do that now. Let's pray for them. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Josh, Dan and Chloe. Father, thank you for this video that we've just watched and just to get to hear about how they're getting on. Father, we particularly want to pray for the things that they've asked us to pray about. Father, many of which are the same as what we want to. Father, we pray at this time of coronavirus that please you'd bring it to an end soon, that lockdown would end, that we'd get to see friends and family again soon. Father, we know that's a big prayer, but you are a great and a big God who can answer those things. So Father, please hear our prayer for that. And we pray especially for the Howells, that you would sustain them at this time. Father, we know they're missing family back in the UK and friends here too. So please would you help them in that time. And we pray for the church family there and for their friends, that you would equip them for this time. And more than anything, above all, we pray for them and for us, that we would keep growing in our love for the Lord Jesus at this time, for them in Uganda, as they're perhaps more isolated than normal. Would you please help them to keep growing in their love of Jesus? Please would you help them as they serve him in what you've called them to at the moment. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, wherever we are, Jesus calls his disciples to be on mission, to go and make disciples in his name. So we're going to sing a song now that reflects that, and it's called Go.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All right, get ready.
Well, thank you so much again for joining us today, especially if you're this is the first time or you're fairly new to watching on a Sunday morning. Just a couple of things to let you know that we'll share now. One thing, please do join us at 11:30 on our Zoom cafe. We'll remind you about that at the end, but that's a great chance to chat to people from the church family here, make yourself known to us. Please do get in contact with us if you haven't done that yet. We'd love to hear from you. A special kind of thing that's coming up starting next Sunday morning, next Sunday afternoon at 3:30, we have Christianity Explored beginning. So if you want to know more about the Christian faith or want to ask some questions or just know a little bit more, then why not consider doing that course? You'll need to sign up, so please get in contact with us if that's of interest for you. Or if you know someone from the church, why not speak to them and ask them about getting you signed up? That'd be a fantastic opportunity for you to learn more about the Christian faith and what it would look like to follow the Lord Jesus.
And also, so we'd love you to join us this evening online at 5 p.m. We're going to be looking at the last bit of our series in Asking, the School of Asking, Learning How to Pray. And Ben Goldenberg, a member of the church here, is going to be taking us through that. I'm also excited to say that next Sunday morning, Sunday the 8th of November, you can join us here in the church building in person for the first time in a very long time, which will be great. Now, to book your place, you have to use the website or you could call the church office. So please do that. And if you want to book a place for next Sunday morning, bookings will close at 1 p.m. on Friday. You can also join us online. So if you're still not ready to perhaps come back in person, then please do join us online next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. But we'd love to see some of you here. As many of you as want to come, we're ready for you. It's a safe place to come. And so we'd love you to join us next Sunday morning. Well, we're going to pray now for our mission partners. Faith, a member of the church family here, is going to lead us in praying for those that we support around the world, and including Chris and Roz, who we've heard a little bit from already. But Faith, over to you.
This morning we're focusing our prayers on mission at home and abroad. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that even in these difficult times that you have not changed. Father, thank you for the privilege you have given us to be able to share about your truth and your love, both here on our doorstep as well as all around the world. We pray for all those who have shared the gospel with friends and family, and who continue to pray and reach out to their neighbours. We ask that you would give us courage to speak up and to encourage others with the promises that we know of your love. We thank you and pray for all those in our church who go out of their way to support and stay in contact with those in or known to our church family who are isolated or struggling in different ways during this time. We thank you for the technology which enables us to continue to connect through some of our church ministries. We pray particularly for the Christianity Explored course, for those leading it, and also for those wanting to explore Christianity more. We pray that through this, you would be opening eyes and hearts to you. We pray with excitement as we launch the Enfield Grace Advocacy Service. And we ask for your great wisdom for those involved as they seek to support and make a difference with individuals and families in our local community. Father, we also lift up to you each of our mission partners and their families around the world. In these times, many of them are facing changed plans and unknowns. They are having to adapt what they do and how they do it. Father, we ask for your wisdom and reassurance for them, and that you would guide them in the paths you have prepared for them. We ask that during this time you would even increase the impact of their work in the communities where they are. We ask for their protection and their safety, and that you would give them rest in you as they need it too. This morning we lift before you Chris and Roz Howells, Jerry and Joy Fowler, Joe and Sarah Potter, Jamie and Joey Letcher, Phil and Vicky Tinker, Angela Bell, and the Hope of Glory Ministry. Lord, we thank you that you know each of them individually. You know their work and you know their needs already. We thank you for their willingness to go, and we ask that you would draw near to each of them. Father, we ask that in all we do, you would help us to make your name known more and more. Amen.
Thank you, Faith, so much for praying for us. In a minute, we're going to get our Bibles open in Isaiah and hear Chris Howes, who our mission partner, preach for us from there. But just before we do that, we're going to be singing When I Was Lost. So sing loudly in your home.
Isaiah chapters 49 verse 1 to 6. Listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain, and I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb, and to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength," he says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth.
Thank you, Josh. Well, good morning, everyone. Chris Howes here in Namugongo, in Kampala, just on the outskirts of Kampala, the capital of Uganda. So I'm going to preach from down at the seminary, down at college, get a bit of greenery in the background, which might be nice. So this is our compound, by the way. Our house is up at the top there. This is the principal. Some of you have met him, his house with his family. That's Reverend Canon Henry Segawa. So this is my daily commute down to college. Not too far. It's about a week before I think you guys will be listening to this sermon that I'm recording it. It's a fairly chilly morning. The kids are whinging how cold it is. It's about 26 degrees, but they're still complaining. I'm not sure how they'll ever cope in UK, but there you go. So here's the seminary. So this is some classroom buildings, the main block where we have some dormitories. The hall, college library, things like that. And then I'll just take us down to, this is our church down at the bottom of the hill here. So everything we need is on site, house, college and church. And there's some nice greenery here. So let's set up camp here. Good morning. Again, I'm really glad to have this opportunity to share Isaiah 49 with you guys. Grateful to Nathan for this opportunity and all of you to preach this morning. Now, you've probably never heard of Brooks Busa. He's president of Radius International. That's an American mission agency that seeks to share the good news about Jesus with people all around the world. And recently, Brooks posted a short message to about 1,000 followers on Twitter, the social media website. The tweet was unremarkable. In fact, I've got a copy of it here. It was just a photo of a small Papua New Guinean village in the rainforest. And the message read, "Tomorrow night, deep in the mountains of Papua New Guinea, after 5 months of teaching that started in Genesis 1:1, the gospel will be presented to the Amdu people for the first time in their known history. Please be praying for the missionary team." So he was asking for prayer for some missionaries who were teaching the Bible in the local language to some communities. But then something happened. The message, this tweet, was reposted by many people who were not in agreement. It did, to use the unfortunate parlance of our times, go viral. And it has now been seen by 1.6 million people, and tens of thousands of people have commented on it. And 99.9% of those comments are absolutely brutal. To say that poor Brooks got it in the neck would be an understatement. I'll leave out some of the disgusting swear words, but the replies to him include, "This is evil. Leave these people alone, you colonizing parasite. Christianity is a disease. Why do missionaries still exist? This is genocide. You're not missionaries, you're colonizers. Leave them alone. They don't need your religion." And even a message that said, "I hope they have poison darts ready for you." It goes on and on. Thousands upon thousands criticizing, attacking, and wishing death upon Brooks for doing nothing more than asking for prayer for these people in Papua New Guinea. See, what might be considered a normal part of Christian living for many of us, you know, sending and supporting missionaries around the world, is increasingly seen by many as genuinely evil, cruel, even genocidal. And I imagine these attitudes will only solidify in the coming years. And into this context, Isaiah 49 is very apt because it speaks powerfully and persuasively about why the gospel of Jesus Christ is such good news and why, even in the face of opposition, Christian believers should share it worldwide. Why? Well, because Jesus is worthy. Because Jesus Christ is worthy. Now, you may be surprised by that answer, because these verses were written over 700 years before Jesus was born. Well, if you check out verse 3, you'll see the words servant. Now, this servant figure is the one who speaks these six verses. In some of the verses, the servant is talking about himself. In others, he's talking about God, or repeating what God says about him. But it's always the servant talking. Now, this isn't the first or the only time we see this servant in the book of Isaiah. He's there again in chapter 42, and again in the coming chapters. Most famously in chapter 53, when Isaiah speaks about this servant who was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Well, who is this servant? Well, we'll see that Isaiah presents him as a savior, a rescuer who is to come. But what is future for Isaiah is in the past for us. What was hazy to Isaiah is clear to us. We can even name this servant, this savior. It is, of course, Jesus Christ himself. When you read Isaiah 49 as someone living this side of Jesus, as we do, these verses become so much richer than they probably ever could for Isaiah's contemporaries. We know the one he's speaking about. So, for example, do you remember in the New Testament book of Acts, when the Ethiopian man on his chariot was reading from Isaiah, but didn't know who this servant was? Tell me, please, he asked Philip, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Philip explained that the servant was Christ. The man then understood what he was reading and even got baptized in Jesus' name there and then. Well, Christians today have the privilege of reading the passage, this passage, Isaiah 49, knowing the identity of the servant, Jesus himself, and not just knowing his identity, but being in relationship with him. How rich and beautiful and profound these verses are for us now. So look at verse 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. Listen to me, the servant calls out to all people, all distant nations, from the furthest islands to the deepest jungles, from the tundra to the deserts, from the biggest cities to the remotest farms. Listen to me. This is an international address. It's a Messiah with a megaphone. No prophet in the Bible ever says, listen to me. Listen to God, yes, but not listen to me. But this servant says it. It reminds me of Mark 9, where the Father, God the Father, points to Jesus from heaven, says, this is my son. God says, listen to him. To listen to this servant in Isaiah is to listen to the divine Son of God. But this same divine servant is also born from the womb. Verse 1, from Mary's womb. Jesus Christ is, yes, eternally God with no beginning, but also born in time as a human being, a fully divine and fully human global messenger. And this messenger is quite something. Look at verse 2. His mouth is like a sharpened sword. He's like a polished arrow, it says. Now, Josh and Danny here are continually making swords out of sticks. And even Chloe got on the act last week when she made a bow and arrow, went around pretending to be a Stone Age hunter or something, terrifying our chickens. She's a fascinating girl. But real swords and arrows are powerful, aren't they? Swords cut deep. Polished arrows fly true and straight, and they pierce. And they're the images of this servant speaking his word. It's powerful, precise, effective. Just remember that the next time you're wondering if the kids' talk you've spent ages preparing is having any impact at all. Or if you're wondering if it's worth taking 15 minutes out of your day to read some Bible verses when you're busy, or you're wondering why work colleagues who you long to know Jesus seem to show no interest at all in the one you love. Well, Christ's words are precise and powerful, like an arrow, a sword. They cut deep and true. Sometimes we need patience and faith to see that. The servant continues, though, in verse 3. That's God the Father, says to me, that's the servant, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." Now, the people of Israel were chosen by God at the start of the Old Testament to be a people belonging to him, a people called to live such holy lives that the other nations around would see the goodness and grace of glory and glory of God embodied in Israel, God's people. Now, sometimes that happens, but sadly, and more often than not, the people of Israel failed to demonstrate and display God's glory. They turned to idols, dishonored God, failed to live distinctive and attractive lives that would display the splendor of the Lord to the nations around. In fact, they failed so catastrophically that God's name was blasphemed among the nations because of them. And they are eventually, about a century after Isaiah writes this, forced out their land and taken away into exile in Babylon as God's judgment over them. But here in Isaiah 49, God calls this servant Israel. And he does display God's splendor. Where the people of Israel failed, the servant succeeds. Jesus Christ fulfills the task originally given to Israel. He lives as they should have. He stands in their place doing the job, doing their job of living for God and drawing the nations in. He is everything that God's people should have been, but never were. He obeys where they've disobeyed. He glorifies where they've blasphemed. He honors the God that they dishonored. He lives righteously where they've lived rebelliously. And you know who we are in this, don't you? We're not the new Israel, the servant who gets it right. We're the original Israel. Because we too fail to display God's beauty and God's splendor. If we put our hearts under a microscope, we'll see goodness and love, sure, but we'll also find disloyalty to God and rebellion against him. All of us will. And therefore, what we deserve, according to God's own perfect standards and God's own past actions, is exile in Babylon, just like the Israelites. Not literally, of course, that city and that empire are long gone. But what we deserve is separation from God, absence from God, exile from God, an eternity in judgment without God's blessing. But the good news is that God's mission for this servant is a rescue mission. Where we fail to display God's splendor, the servant Jesus succeeds. This lies at the heart of the Christian faith. We can share in his success. When we put our faith in Jesus, when we put our life in his hands and acknowledge our imperfection and his perfection, his obedience becomes ours. We can be saved from God's exile and brought back to God in full eternal relationship because Christ won that for us through his own perfection. Let me explain more. The great missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, once said, "Christianity is not so much about changed lives, but exchanged lives." As Jesus dies, suffering horrifically on a Roman cross in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, he's suffering the exile, the separation from God, the punishment from God that we have caused and that we deserve. And at the same time, his perfect life becomes ours. What that means is that by faith, those who believe in him are innocent in God's sight because of Jesus's perfect holy life. We are imperfect, inadequate, but Jesus is all that we should have been. And at the cost of his own life, he makes that incredible exchange with us. His perfection becomes our perfection in God's sight. That exchange, the most beautiful, sacrificial, servant-hearted act of love in the history of humankind, is our only hope for friendship with God both now and for eternity. This servant lives righteously, as we can't. He suffers so that we don't. He takes God's punishment so that we won't. That is God's offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. And if you are someone who cannot say they have by faith accepted this remarkable free gift, then according to the Bible, you are someone who is depending on your own goodness to find peace with God. And however good you are, it will always fall short of Jesus' perfect goodness. And it will always end in separation from God. Let us put faith not in ourselves, but in Christ, trusting in His perfect goodness, not our own, and depending on His holy righteousness, not our own. If we continue, we see in verse 4, the servant is discouraged. I've labored in vain, he says. I've spent my strength for nothing. It may surprise you to hear that, but just think, as Peter denied him, as Judas betrayed him, as his friends forsook him, as his people rejected him, as blood flowed from him, as his father poured out anger on him, there was great despair for Jesus. But then, vindication. Verse 4, my reward is with my God, the end of verse 4. He is raised to new life from the grave and sits at his Father's side in heaven to rule and reign as king. And as he proudly and victoriously proclaims in verse 5 that he has been honored, verse 5, that he's honored in the eyes of the Lord. So, let's recap. Isaiah describes this servant as a divine figure, but one born as a human. A figure for the whole world to listen to, whose words are powerful and piercing, one who perfectly displays the splendor of God, as Israel have failed to do, and who is thus the only hope for Israel, one who suffered but who was vindicated. That's the servant of Isaiah 49. That's Jesus Christ. But the finale, the climax, the fullness of this passage culminates in verse 6. Actually, I think this is my favorite verse in the Bible. It's affected me so profoundly. It's a huge part of why we're in Uganda right now. Isaiah 49, verse 6. God says to his son, Jesus Christ, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. What is Christ worth? He's worth the whole world. He's worth the nations. It's too small a thing for this servant to be a savior of just Jacob. That means just the Israelites. It's too small a thing for his salvation to be only available to one community or one people. Jesus is worth far more than that. He must be a light for the Gentiles. That means all the other nations, the whole world. God's salvation in Christ is for all people everywhere. There isn't a single tribe in the rainforest or nomadic village in the desert or household in Enfield for whom Christ is not worthy. From Chad to China, from Somalia to Sri Lanka, from Uruguay to Uzbekistan and Brazil to Bulgaria, God is committed to seeing saving faith across the whole globe. Anything else is too small a thing for Jesus Christ. You know, 9 years ago, almost to the day, Roz and I, with baby Josh, packed up or sold our belongings and moved to Uganda. Why did we do that? Well, we believed and still believe that it is too small a thing for Christ to be known in some places, but not in others. Now, Uganda has churches. There's one behind me down there. And there's millions of Christians here. And that's one of the key things we're doing with our students at the Bible College here, is to encourage them to think about how they themselves can go out to the ends of the earth, and particularly to neighbouring countries, with the gospel. There are 70 million people within 1,000 kilometres of where I sit right now who have no access to the gospel. I don't just mean they're not Christian. I mean they have no human way of becoming a Christian, no church, no witnessing believers in those communities. Or further out, what about the Yemeni Arabs, almost 7 million people? The number of Christians, probably just in double figures, maybe even single figures. Or the Fulani people of Nigeria, 16 million people, probably less than 10,000 believers. Or the Ansari of northern India, Nepal, just over 10 million people and a handful of believers. We could go on, but in the end, the statistics just get exhausting. But it is too small a thing for Christ to be unknown and unavailable to over 2 billion people worldwide. So what can a church in Enfield, so far from the Yemeni and Fulani and Ansari peoples, do? Well, firstly, let us remember that the British church is probably not going to be the primary means by which many of these groups hear the gospel. Let us get to know and pray for churches across the world who are getting involved in God's global mission purposes, mobilizing and sending workers to the ends of the earth. So let us pray for groups like CAPRO, which is a Nigerian mission agency raising and training and supporting Nigerians to go as missionaries, including up to the Fulani of Nigeria. Let us pray for the thousands or even tens of thousands of Indians from the south of India who are moving to the north of that country to take the gospel to their own unreached countrymates there. Let's pray for the thousands of Filipino maids, domestic workers in the Middle East, who are not formal missionaries in the sense that we often think about it, but who are courageously speaking of Christ to the families they work with. We must not think that the British or American church has all the responsibility for or authority over the global missions task. Secondly, let us be praying. We pray for those who don't know Jesus because he is worthy to be known. We pray because we cannot be content when so many live with no regard for him and no way of hearing about him. One thing we often use as a family is this book here. It's called Window on the World, which has these beautiful sort of double page, can you see that? Double page spreads about an unreached people group or a particular country, with stories and pictures and suggestions to help you pray. I wonder if you'd be willing to use that or something like it to pray once a week or more for Christ to be made known where he's not yet known. Thirdly, let me encourage you to keep on partnering in the way that you as a church already do. Partnership means working with others towards a common purpose. So, for example, you partner with the church in Uganda and with this Bible college here, Uganda Martyrs Seminary. You generously help fund us to be here. You welcome our principal, Henry, when he visits the UK. You regularly pray for us, the students and the staff here. You're so interested in the ministry here and so caring towards us, sustaining and encouraging us. That's partnership. You are connected to the Ugandan church, and the Ugandan church is connected to you. I know you enjoy similar partnerships with other people, ministries and contexts around the world too. And fourthly, and lastly, because it's harder than I thought it would be to hold my phone at arm's length for this long. Fourthly, don't forget too that in this globalized world we live in, the nations have come to our doorstep. London and Enfield is a multicultural, cosmopolitan context. Did you know that in Enfield Borough alone there are 12,000 Indians, 6,000 Bangladeshis, 28,000 folk from Africa, 2,000 from the Middle East, 3,000 from China. The list goes on. Never in history has the world's population been so intermingled. And what missions opportunity this presents for globally minded Christians. In fact, there are some peoples, that the Somali people, our near neighbours, might be an example, where Probably the most effective way to make Christ known there will not just be by missionaries in country in Somalia, but also by Christians in cities like London and New York sharing Christ with the large Somali populations living there, who then may even share the gospel in person or online with friends and family back in their home countries. Folks, it is too small a thing for Christ to be known only in Enfield. Now, in a million years, not in a million years, would I want to discourage you in the absolute fundamental necessity of a church like yours speaking to Enfieldians about Christ. Obviously, that is absolutely right, utterly admirable. You have our huge respect and our regular prayers as you do that. But it is too small a thing for faithful, Bible-believing, Christ-glorifying churches to exist only in Enfield. So let's conclude. In the end, the servant will accomplish his mission to be a light to the ends of the earth. That is what God has prepared for his son. God does not need us, but he does invite us into the privilege of participating with him in this great plan to see Jesus Christ glorified from the east to the west, from the north to the south. If we're putting our time, energy, money into this, it is a safe investment. It cannot fail, as this is what the sovereign God is doing. Did you know that in the book of Acts, Paul actually quotes verse 6 from Isaiah 49, and he applies it to himself, saying that the Apostle Paul, is a light to the nations to take salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, don't worry, he's not claiming to be the servant, to be the Son of God, of course not, but he's explaining that he, Paul, joins with Christ, or is used by Christ, in God's plan for Christ to be glorified worldwide in all peoples. All of us who are joined together by faith in union with Christ are invited to join with him, participate with him in this glorious work of bringing his salvation to the far corners of Enfield, of the UK, of the whole world. It's not meant to be a burden, another task to tick off on our Christian to-do list. It's a privilege, it's a blessing, it's an honor, a joy. Remember Brooks with his message on Twitter, thousands hating him for wanting to see Christ's salvation known to the ends of the earth. Why does Brooks and these missionaries do this in the face of such hatred and difficulty? Why should we join them? Well, it's because Jesus Christ, the servant of Isaiah 49, the divine Son of God made man, whose word is powerful, whose life is perfect, whose death wins for us salvation, it's because he is worthy to be proclaimed in every nation. God has made him a light for the Gentiles, for his salvation to reach the ends of the earth. What a privilege for us to be invited to participate in such magnificent global purposes. And so, friends in Enfield, what will your role be as individuals and as a church family? May God bless you all as we continue to think this through and participate in God's great global missions purposes through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Let me pray to finish. Our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of Isaiah 49, the one whose words are powerful, your divine Son, born as a human, who lived a life that glorifies you, that reflects your splendor, a perfect, righteous life where Israel have failed, where we have failed, who stands in our place to win for us salvation, to enable us back into relationship with you through his perfection. We praise you for him, and we praise you that because of that, he is worthy. He is worthy to be known in Enfield, in the UK, and to the ends of the earth. We praise you that he is the light for all nations. And Lord, please help us to participate in this privileged work of joining with you through Jesus, by union with him, by faith in him, to join with you in this great task of taking his name, of making him known to the ends of the earth. Lord, please help us to think wisely and carefully as individuals, as families, as a church, how we can do that so that your Son's name will be known and glorified where it is not yet known and glorified. And we pray all of this, trusting and believing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's been really good to hear from Chris, to hear from the scriptures, to think about world mission together. We'd love to see you at our Zoom cafe in a little while. It'd be great to connect with you. If you haven't done that yet, please have a go. It's a really great chance to catch up with people. Details will appear on the screen for how to connect. But why don't I finish with a prayer? And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Amen.